Welcome to the SDC Daily Podcast. This year, having already looked at Acts and Ephesians, we're focusing on some other New Testament letters. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Welcome to Thursday's podcast. Our reading today is 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 10. Today, we'll focus on verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. A thought for the day. Since the lockdown started in March, I've started running more and more. When I hit 40, I felt it was time to do the whole couch to 5K thing. I did it. It was painful and embarrassing when I'd see people I know as I was struggling along the Manchester Road, the flattest road I could find in the area. I did it off and off, off and on since 40, but since lockdown kicked in, I've taken it more seriously. Got some advice off friends, learned some tips like when to push up the hills, make time to recoup on the flats, etc. And on Tuesday night, I ran for 14 kilometres. Now, I'm no Usain Bolt or even STC's very own Liam Brennan, but that's a personal best for me. So what happened? And how does this relate to this particular passage of scripture? For those who know me will know that I've never been particularly a skinny fella, or perhaps more significantly, that's pretty much what I thought of myself. And when I was a kid, my mom used to say it was puppy fat and I grew out of it. Just never happened. Over the past few years, I began to realise that I have a bit of a strange relationship with food. I would often comfort eat when I felt stress. And if this chimes with you, you'll know that, like me, after you've eaten those cookies, because you've got like zero self-control, you don't feel good about yourself. In fact, quite the reverse. Shame kicks in big time. And as the old adage goes, sin is what you do, shame is who you are. Well, I'll be honest. I did feel shame about my body image. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, you'll know it's an awful place to get locked into a shame cycle. You eat too much, you feel bad, so you eat again to make yourself feel better. And if I'm honest, the reason I found doing the couch to 5K so hard was that I would assess my performance after every run. If I stopped or I got bad stitch, my internal commentary wasn't very positive. My aching muscles and lack of fitness screamed and seemed to confirm to me what I already thought of myself. You're so unfit. And I'd ask myself, why am I doing this? What I discovered was this. Focusing on the negative, in my case, weight loss, was not a motivator. In fact, it just compounded a sense of shame, which wasn't helping my self-image. So what changed? Well, I began to stop focusing on how bad I was at running or how unfit I was, but took a long-term view. Rather than judge my ability on one particular run, I changed my thinking to this. This is going to be a very painful and unpleasant few months of running. And this will be painful, but it will be worth it. I learned the fine art of displacement. I stopped assessing my performance. I displaced the voices by focusing on the plan. And actually, overall, I began to focus on the fact that I am made in God's image. And while I love chocolate cookies and they love me, there was a bigger battle to face. That I will not be that person anymore. That I'm a child of God. That I'm more than a conqueror. And God can do it. I had to fight some pretty significant unhelpful voices, if I'm being really honest with you. What had changed was that I began to see that my own view of myself was incompatible with the truth that I'm a child of God, that he is my perfect father, and that I am made in his image. That overwhelming feeling began to displace some of those habits and behaviours I'd developed. I just sensed that God was giving me an opportunity in the lockdown to rethink how I see food and exercise from the perspective that I'm loved and accepted, rather than I'm a bit of an undisciplined, unfit mess. It's a personal journey for me that I'm sharing today, and it won't be right for everybody. But here's how I think it links in today's passage. When the Holy Spirit puts his finger on things in our lives that aren't right, we're to confess. and where there are repeating patterns, we're to repent. Someone once said that confession is saying, oh, sorry, I spilled the paint, and repentance is, I need to stop spilling paint. When we confess sin, we're made right with God. But you know, it can be a real temptation for Christians to remain in the place where we get hung up on the fact that we have issues in our lives, even after we've confessed our sins and we receive forgiveness. And this is where the art of displacement is really helpful. We displace the enemy's power by focusing attention away from ourselves, on not on why we're messing up, but back on Jesus, back on him. We listen to Christian radio in our household. Why? Simply because it helps us to stay connected, focused on him. Worship is one of the major ways of displacing unhelpful stuff in our lives. It takes the focus away from ourselves, our situations, the negativity, and points us back to Jesus. It's the same as where if we immerse ourselves in the scriptures or in prayer. You see, and the heart of it is this. For John encourages the church that he so dearly loves to remain in him, to let the seed of the gospel do its work. If we remain in him, if we orient our lives to him, then sin's hold loses its power. Will we mess up? Of course we will, but we confess it quickly and we choose to remain in him. So today I would say this, if you're aware of your faults and your sins, confess them. Say sorry and talk to a trusted friend if you need to. The Holy Spirit's job is to sort us out. And he's very good at that. And you know, sometimes we just need to trust him to do his job more. Our job, if we take John writing in his letter to the churches, that is seriously, is this, that our job's to remain in him, to remain in the Lord and keep looking to him. Let's pray. Lord, help us today to remain in you. What are the holy habits, Lord, that you're calling us to? Lord, where you're not the loudest voice to us today, Lord, I pray that you are. We embrace forgiveness this day. We confess our sin, Lord, and we look to you. We don't look backwards, Lord, at the negative and the areas in our lives where we feel we've constantly failed. We bring them to you, Lord Jesus, and I pray that you help us walk more in freedom this day. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 3, 4-10. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they've been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.